Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
What makes your mom sad?
When I don't listen, like when we get hurt.
What's something that your mom does every day?
Read the Bible, cleans the house,
and I think work.
Kisses me.
What's something your mom always says to you?
I love you. Brush my teeth.
Go clean your room.
Behave.
Don't let the dog upstairs.
Do not bother mom while she's sleeping.
How old is your mom?
I think 5.
12.
That's a very, very tricky question.
I know she's a half and something.
70.
What's your mom's favorite thing to do?
Play with me.
Sit in that chair.
Date night.
Shop.
Shopping.
Go shopping.
It's just shopping every day. She always wants to go shopping.
Me and I get tired. Doing that's kind of boring.
Where's your mom's favorite place to go?
Chinese restaurant.
An animal shelter.
I think it's to the mall.
Go to the restroom.
How are you and your mom the same?
Our hair.
Our eyes.
We have the same phones.
We're really flexible.
We both have long tongues, but my sister and my dad don't really.
How are you and your mom different?
Our eyes are different.
The color of me. I'm brown and she's tan.
Mom has curly hair and I have straight hair.
I do have better abs.
What's your favorite thing about your mom?
That she doesn't like to be away from us.
When she gets down the floor and plays with me.
She's a really good teacher.
I like her face.
Her smile.
When she lets me put on her makeup.
That I can cuddle with her at night.
She is really special.
She's really, 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 really nice.
How do you know that your mom loves you?
She prays and she kisses me and she says, I love you.
Because she's in my family.
How she takes care of us.
By making breakfast.
Do my laundry.
That she helps me get dressed.
Takes me to all the things I do after school.
That she plays games with me.
Play soccer with me.
Play bubbles.
When I sit in her lap.
We watch movies.
We get our nails painted.
Make a scrapbook.
Fish.
Outside cookouts and bonfires.
She spends time with us and not all by herself.
She's patient. With us.
She does everything with me.
Because she says it every day.
Kisses me every night.
And all kinds of stuff.
I just know that she loves me because she says, I'll always love you.
She's awesome.
She loves me no matter what. Like God.
I love you, Mommy. Happy Mother's Day.
We all need a minute up here, actually. Good morning. Good morning. So excited to have you guys with us. My name is Kristen. I am one of the pastors here. You wouldn't think I've already seen that video like 6 times because it's still getting me. But then also watching some of the moms out here also get choked up made it even a little bit that much more special. So we are doing something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to let these ladies introduce themselves in just a second here. But we wanted to let you know if you're new or visiting with us, kind of what is happening and what is going on. So we are going to have a panel of women talk to us, talk to you for Mother's Day today. And the hope is that even if you walk away with maybe not like a 3-point message or a thing to do or like a Bible story that, you know, you're going to think about for the rest of the week, it's really important to us at Mosaic that we are a diverse community. And that means diversity in a lot of different ways. That means race and culture and age and lifestyle and season of life. And so one of the things that we hope you take from today and this morning is the ability to hear from different people, maybe be able to relate to some other people, hear stories and experiences that you might not understand, but we're hoping we'll be able to help you change your perspective as you begin to broaden your mind and think about things in a different way. So I am Kristen. I'm one of the pastors here. I met my husband, Peter, here at Mosaic, and I've got two daughters, Marley and Margot, as well.
And good morning. I'm Lucia, and I am married to Mike. I have two teenage girls, 14 and 11, but still a teenager already. And we have three doggies, and I work for Wells Fargo. I'm an executive director there, and I'm in the technology area.
Awesome. Oh, so very excited for you.
Cheerleaders. I'm Danielle. I'm a tax manager at Ernst & Young, and I also teach yoga. And we also have three dogs. I didn't know that about you. I'm married to Joe, and we have Alexis, who is here for the first time ever today. So my heart, like, is palpitating. So she's 17.
Awesome.
I'm Rue Mashog. I'm married to a Carolina boy, Philip Baldry. We have one daughter, Alana Grace, and she's 4, turning 5 in June. She doesn't miss a chance to remind us. I am a working mom as well, and I just learned we're both at Ernst & Young. I'm in consulting.
Oh. Look at us making
connections. In financial services risk management.
Hello, I'm Caroline Portillo. I've been happily married for more than 10 years to my husband, Eli, who's running the cameras today. We have two children, Jacob, who is almost 6, and Charlotte Grace, who is 3.5, both wonderful, sensitive, very strong-willed. And I work full-time at Duke Energy, where I oversee communications and executive positioning for our president and chief legal officer.
Awesome. So there are some little qualifiers. We wanted to give you a peek into who these ladies are so that as you're hearing this, their stories and the things that they want to share with you, you've got a little bit of an idea of where they're coming from. But I do have one more really important tidbit of information about all of you. I actually asked your children what it is their most favorite thing or the most important thing that we need to know about you. So, Danielle, Alexis thinks that it's very important for everyone to know that you're a very hardworking person no matter what. You can wake up at 4 a.m. I told you to put a Kleenex in your pocket. I told you. She can wake up at 4 a.m. ready to get things done for the day with a smile on her face, even when she's going through something. Danielle is one of those people that you want to wake up and see because you know there's never a dull moment with her around. So that's important to know about you. Lucia, Natalia wants everyone to know that you are a great cook and very understanding. And Sophia said she loves your kindness and gentle nature and that you're always putting others before yourself. Rue, Alana would like people to know that you love her, and also that you took her to Boston. So it's very important. Yes. It's very important. Caroline, Jacob loves that you keep the power on working for Duke Energy. If he is not Eli's son, like, spitting is so funny. And Charlotte Grace loves that you say, I love you. So just some more important things for you ladies to know and for you guys to know about the ladies that are up here. So let's talk expectations. We've talked a lot behind the scenes. The five of us have been in conversation about what is the most important thing for you guys to know, how we can hopefully bless and benefit you this morning. And something that came up that I think a lot of us can relate to, regardless of any season of life, occupation, any of it, is expectations. So Lucia, you mentioned expectations as living as a first-generation immigrant. So will you explain the invisible expectation that a lot of us don't understand that comes with that?
Well, yes, there's a lot of expectations as simple as, you know, who has not gone to a house of a Latina and it smells like fabuloso because it's super clean, right? So as simple as that to, you know, as deep as having been born in Guatemala, where family is super tight, and so you're raising your children, and literally you have a built-in support system. Mm-hmm. Your parents are there to help you. They babysit. You know, the aunt babysits, and But more importantly, they are just feeding into your children emotionally and just, you know, in every kind of way. My grandma, for example, she was such an important piece in my, you know, life. You know, sometimes they ask me, why do your kids not speak Spanish fluently, for example? Well, okay, so, you know, there's an explanation behind it. Usually grandparents keep the children at home in Guatemala, but here they spend 8 hours at a daycare, for example. And so it's just, you know, complicated that way. But, you know, inside of me, there's still those expectations that I have to fulfill multiple roles. And that I think it's the biggest pressure on me, my own expectations.
Yeah. Well, and you're living kind of in two cultures, right? You're like, you're living in this culture, but still with the expectation that you're going to fully 100% also lean into your Guatemalan culture.
Yeah.
And Rue, you're from Zimbabwe. Is that right? Yes. So can you explain to us, is it similar? Is it the same as Lucia? What's your experience been like?
Absolutely. So Zimbabwe is a predominantly Black population. And so growing up, it is similar in that there's a true village, right? It's not just your parents raising you. You have grandparents, you have aunts, you have help around the house. And so there's a lot of, I think a lot of people, like you said, pouring into your kid's life. Mm. Whereas here, your kid is growing up in daycare. And then for me, I think there's also an aspect where, again, I said I grew up in a predominantly Black culture. Yes, I went to private school and was a minority, but I had a true sense of who I was as a person. And so I think raising Alana, I have this added pressure to make sure that she's proud of her cultural identity, also appreciates the fact that she's American. Yeah. But I think also the fact that there is systemic racism in the States. And so it's, how do you navigate that as a little Black girl without taking away from her innocence, her joy, and who she is as a person? I think some of you have met my kid. She's bubbly out there. And so I don't want to take away from that, but I want to prepare her to know that, okay, people might treat you differently, but we love you. And mm-hmm. there's a community here in Mosaic that loves you. And by the way, you're perfect just the way you are.
Yes, so I think you had said it's that tension of trying to raise her to appreciate like all the fullness, like you said, of being this beautiful, bubbly little Black girl while also protecting what that is probably going to, what she's going to face in life, while also trying to protect her innocence at the same time. Yeah, I can't imagine actually how complicated and tricky that would be, but I'm really glad that you mentioned Mosaic as your community here because you have got all these people. Yes. Yeah. For sure. Well, all of you also mentioned, you know, the never-ending to-do list, like the unending to-do list of things that we have to do as women and wives and full-time working parents and moms. Caroline, you actually compared motherhood to a career choice. Will you explain that to everybody?
And this is not in the sense of like being a stay-at-home mom or being a working mom, but just this, Kristen had asked, like, what are some of the hardest things? And one is just the constant need to prioritize someone else without this dopamine hit of positive feedback. And
yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, when you go to work, I mean, I would never stick around at a job where I was never thanked or never like truly appreciated. You know, I was, and not that our kids do not appreciate what we do, but I was just thinking of like, say you plan this amazing luncheon at work and, you know, you pour yourself into it. You bring homemade cookies and homemade, you know, entrees and all that. And not only does your boss like say they hate it, but they cry, you know, that you have tortured them.
They throw it on the floor.
And so, you know, that sometimes is motherhood and fatherhood too. My husband does the vast majority of the cooking, so he's laughing at this. But, you know, it does, being a parent does just remind me of our humanity and, you know, how flawed we are because we get angry and mad mm-hmm. and, you know, and we lash out in ways that we wouldn't at the office. And, but when I see that video of the children and all of that, God also just gives us so much joy and, there's so much grace in that we can have kids throwing food and screaming and yelling And then, you know, 5 minutes later, we can just be laughing about something wonderful that they said.
Yeah. We try to do all the things, right? And perform all the things. And then all they really want us to do is just sit with them, tell them we love them, go outside. Danielle, you became a mother when Alexis was already 14. Is that right?
Yes.
So I can imagine that it was different where, you know, we all started with them where they didn't know when we messed up because they were too little to know. Yeah. To, and then meeting someone basically that you were like, okay, now mother this person. What was that like?
Yeah. And I think I need to like preface that conversation with, I can't have kids naturally. So that has been very much part of my journey of like trying to find purpose without what I thought was the purpose of my life.
Yeah.
So prior to Alexis, I worked really hard with my anger and resentment to God and also accepting that his plan is the plan, right? Like it's what other choice do I have to accept this? So obviously I was super excited when Alexis came in our lives, my life. But like we didn't have that immediate bond. I mean, the first time I met Alexis, like in the flesh, it's like she was moving in. I'm like, your room's on the left. Like, my name's Danielle. I hope you like the bedspread I got you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So, And so, if anyone's a step parent, it's like a forced relationship. Like she did not choose me like Joe did. And so I try to always remember that. And I don't know if I have any step parents. I know Cass is here. It's like like compare it to like lake water. It's like murky and muddy because the expectations and boundaries are just so like not clear. And so it's finding the boundaries of where she fits in my life and where I fit in hers. And so through this, I've learned that love is not just that warm, fuzzy feeling, right? That you get inside, like love is action. And so at first I was really holding myself accountable to these expectations of who am I to her and what's my title and what's she going to call me and just all these expectations. Yeah. And so once I dropped that and just started loving her really hard and getting to know her and her heart, then the warm, buzzy feelings come because I'm not trying to replace anybody in her life.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to be a really good, positive person in her life that loves her a lot.
Yeah. When I've heard you say too, Danielle, that you have approached it as just trying to show her the love of Jesus. And I think that probably, would you say, made a big difference as opposed to like,
just like
you're going
me,
to
like
love
living,
me.
No, like living with a kind heart.
Yeah.
Like if I'm like, she has gone through a lot, like in her transition here, like her family is still in Indiana. So like, how can I be like a soft landing space with a heart like Jesus of forgiveness and kindness and just nurturing?
Yeah. That's good. That's really good. And really, that's, again, not just for parents, not just for moms, but for all of us. I think that's any relationship that we're struggling, any relationship that maybe feels like one that we didn't necessarily choose. That's where we have to come from this place of like, all right, maybe the ones that we didn't choose and now are hard to be in, where sometimes we wish it's a relationship that we could maybe even put a boundary for, just to go, okay, God, like, I don't know how to love this person, so I need you to show me how to love them. Yeah. Or love them through me, maybe even. Caroline, I know when we were talking about all the different lists of things, one of the, it made me think of the Barbie movie. Have y'all seen the Barbie movie? Yeah. I'm going to work this into as many times as I can, just so you know. But it reminded me of America Ferrera does this monologue, you know, where she's like, it's so impossible to be a woman because of all the contradicting things. It's like, you have to be this and that. You have to be A and Z. And so you talked about that with motherhood. Will you explain that a little bit?
Yes. I mean, the mom guilt thing is so real.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about how, you know, we're supposed to succeed at work so that our children have a great example of, you know, working mothers, but then we're also supposed to be making them homemade snacks and, you know, ensuring that they're not eating anything processed. You know, we need to spend hours reading to them every night because it's obviously very important for their development of their brain, but then they got to go to bed early because they need sleep. and then they need to do sports because sports, you know, help them learn how to be on a team. They, you know, teach them so many great life lessons, but then you need to be having family dinners, like, because that is where, you know, those bonds are developed, and you need to have a clean, uncluttered home because that's, you know, going to help with your kids' behavior, but then you need sleep and you need to exercise.
So, self-care.
You know,
yes,
self-care. So it's just this constant tension in navigating and prioritization that's can be very difficult.
Yeah, makes it feel impossible. Yeah. Rue, I know that you mentioned something similar, but with an added, you called it a black tax. Explain this to those of us that don't understand what that is.
Sure. So coming from Zimbabwe, a country in Southern Africa, there are a lot of people who leave and they go to the diaspora. And there's an expectation that you don't forget about the village I mentioned earlier, right? And so the village includes, yes, your parents, your siblings, but also extended family, so grandparents, uncles, aunts, some that you may not even know. And so, you know, there is an expectation that although you're trying to, you know, build your family, do all the things, you don't forget where you came from. And that looks like financial responsibility. That looks for like emergency health services that you might have to plan and provide to an uncle that you may or may not know. And in some instances, there's an added guilt, I think, where you recognize that you're fortunate, you're blessed, you have all the things. And so you want to extend that to family. You want to extend that to community. But it's so hard to juggle all the things. I think I've mentioned to a few of you, I also work with a local nonprofit. And so I find myself sometimes giving and giving and giving. And then I run out of what I guess would be left for myself.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us can relate to that, and that we know that God has put us in these spaces for a purpose. But it's like sometimes I find myself also crying out, like, God, to what extent?
Yeah.
What am I doing here? And can you guide me into the places I'm truly meant to be versus where I'm overstretching?
Yeah. Well, I know. So it basically, for you, Rue, it extends from not just a mom guilt, but to like a daughter guilt and a sibling guilt and a niece guilt and all of these other things. Can you, this is, I'm putting you on the spot, but talking about, you know, pouring out and pouring out, I think a lot of us can relate to that. Is there anything specifically that you've found in this season or in the past that has helped you to kind of like tap into God's strength when you feel like I got nothing left?
Funny you should ask. My husband is always telling me to stop. He's like, just stop. But also I've taken to therapy, working out, and leaning on my community as well. So, you know, I again, come to church pretty regularly, and I find myself having conversations where God is speaking to me through people. And whether it's, Rue, take a step back, Rue, communicate that this is what you need, or my friend Maya recently sat me down and said, do you realize or recognize where you're trying to play God?
Oh, wow.
And you said, get out of my house. I was like, that's not what I came here for. But at the same time, I think sometimes I feel like I should provide it all.
Yeah.
And then forget that there is a God. There is God who I turn to for all the things. And he is absolutely willing and ready to provide in these spaces.
Yeah. Well, Lucy, I know you touched on this a little bit too, talking about, you know, choosing an extended family because you're not close to your extended family. So kind of choosing extensions of family for your girls. What does that look like for you guys?
I just want to say before we go there.
Yeah.
Wow. Because that Maya friend of yours just hit me. Mm. Like, wow.
So God was speaking through Maya to Rue and through Rue
to
Lucia.
Me. Yes.
I love this so much. Love it.
You know, we talked about the multiple expectations we bring with our culture and tradition and religion that we were brought up in. But the reality is that sometimes we just find ourselves alone, you know, in a different country like me. And then that extended community becomes church and our friends. And it's the family that we choose. And shameless plug here. You know, the Esperanza para Todos people, they have just been amazing to model and help my girls just love their Latin roots. And then, you know, they have found their people with the underground kids. And, you know, it becomes so important. Yeah. And I feel like God-given that they have been able to be surrounded with adults that allow them to be themselves, that allow them to ask questions, to not be afraid of, you know, saying, well, will God be mad at me for doing this or not doing this, and to find the grace in others, to find the true character mm-hmm. of God through those people and just make them feel like the love of God takes on all of those things. So I just feel like God has given me that family that, yeah. you know, we have not been able to have around through this community for 18 years.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, and I would say too, again, if you're visiting, if you are relatively new to Mosaic, if you're kind of checking things out and you're like, wow, I have not experienced that. We would invite you to jump in. We would invite you to, Nura talked about block parties that are happening this summer. We have an entire small group that was basically birthed out of a block party because a whole bunch of families just happened to meet each other at one of these events. They realized that they all had kids the same age, and so they decided to take it upon themselves and start a small group, and now they do life together. And now they really do look out for each other and take care of each other's kids and things like that. And so we have so many different ways that we would love for you to get involved. We would love for this to be a community where you can walk out of here going, oh, these people really do feel like a family. So if that's something you're looking for, definitely make sure, talk to one of us on staff or jump into any of the events, things that we've got going on, now this summer, but that's a really great way to get to know other people. All right, Danielle, there is a stereotypical, like, culture of the stepmom, right?
Yeah.
That it's bad or that it's mean or that Alexis is not going to like you or even that you don't know how to parent because you don't have biological kids of your own. How has that been for you?
Yeah, I get that often, yeah. Especially because I got her at teenage years.
Yeah.
But I think that any person that has like the want to have a child, then you have that natural instinct because that's your heart's desire, right? Like, I mean, that's probably why I have 3 dogs because I like to take care of like living things. I like, you know, I need someone that like need me. But if I keep my heart right with the intention for Alexis, just because I didn't give birth to her doesn't mean I can't be a huge part of her story and guide her and just love her really well. And if you think about it, like what relationship in your life, you 100% of the time, you know what you're doing. Like, unless they give you a birth manual that I don't know, like I'm not privy to as a step parent.
We didn't get those.
So like nobody knows, you're just like figuring out together. And like, I have made mistakes with Alexis. I'm going to continue making mistakes. The first time I picked her up at school, I was going the wrong direction in the car pickup line. I'm like,
very complicated.
She'll see me. I was like, one, she'll see me. 2, we got out of there so fast. I'm like, how is not anybody else thinking of this? And then like when I took her to the doctor for the first time, I was like filling out her paperwork for her. And I was like, oh my gosh, what year were you born? Like 19. And she was like, oh, Danielle, I was not born in the 1900s.
Oh my gosh, like, Alexis.
This is not going well. So like, we're just figuring it out together and doing the best that we can. It doesn't.
We're glad you're here, Alexis. Yes. You're so cute.
It doesn't matter that I didn't give birth to her, that right. I can't. Like, that doesn't mean I'm incapable of providing right. like a healthy environment for her to become her best self in.
Yeah. Well, and I think no matter what age we get our kids, how we get our kids, even the kids that we kind of take under our wing and adopt as our own, you know, when we're here or in other spaces, we all have fear, right? We all have fear. We all have worry. We all have anxiety. We all have like wanting to control and do the perfect thing. And I know, Rue, you actually put it really well. You said, what if when she becomes an adult, she harbors resentment toward me for the decisions that I made with her well-being in mind? And I was like, yes, like we all feel this. But Caroline, you brought a really kind, graceful point to help us remember when we're sitting and wanting to be kind of overwhelmed with the fear. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
So, you know, one of the things that I try to think about as a parent is this, first of all, Kristen asked us who, like, who's the worrier in your relationship? And I was like, well, it's not me, it's my husband. So that helps. But I try to take this panned out view that even if we, you know, can't create this perfect environment for our children, like even if we did create this perfect environment for our children, they still live in a broken, fallen world. Yeah. And so we can't create perfection, it hits me viscerally with children when you hear like kids who bully and, there are so many things that our kids face that we cannot control. Yeah. And so I try to remember Jeremiah 29:11. It was a verse that we read at our, wedding. It's a verse that I think of almost every single day. And, it's God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." And I claim those for my family, and I hope you all claim them for yours too. I claim them on behalf for your family. And that's not blind optimism. It doesn't mean that we're given a perfect, path forward, but God has plans for us that are for hope and a future. And that's the mission of Mosaic. It's faith, hope, and love. Yeah. And there is so much beauty in imperfection. Mm-hmm. And it's all just wrapped up in God's future and hope for us.
Yeah. I think it makes a big difference when we remember that our kids are actually God's. I think that they're mine. And so I'm like, I know what's best for you, but I also have to do everything right. And I'm the provider and I'm the protector and I'm this, and I have to love you the most. And I have to make sure you go to therapy for just like one or two things and not like 11 things. You know what I mean? It's normal parenting, guys. But we forget, it helps me to remember they're God's kids first. He loves them more than I ever could. He wants better for them more than I ever could, which doesn't make any sense in my brain when I say it out loud. But when I can try to remember and believe that, it helps me to let go of some of that, worry and control. The last thing that I would love for you all to share quickly in whatever order is, what is the one thing or a thing that you hope that your kids learn about God from you? Rue, you want to go
first? Sure, I can go first. So I think yourself, Pastor Kristen and Pastor Naeem, were preaching the previous series mentioned that God seeks a connection with you and God wants to know you. And so I think in everything I do, I hope that Alana remembers that God loves you. He wants a connection with you. And that in all this, she has the discernment to know when he is speaking versus when the world is trying to tell her who she is.
Yeah, to learn his voice. That's good.
I hope my children learn that there's no earning brownie points with God. You can't do everything perfectly to earn his love. It is so freely given, and his grace is freely given. And we should extend that to other people as well.
Yeah. I think for Alexis, being a teenager in today's world is just a lot of figuring out, right? So I hope that Alexis just finds her own relationship with God. I think that we have been, we've had a lot of people in our lives that claim to love God, but they don't live daily with the heart for Jesus. So just her developing her own where she can pray, her anxieties and worries, and just her own, making it hers, not like what I've told her, but what she sees through me in my consistencies, but just her own, let that be her thing.
Yeah.
And I would probably say that the biggest thing for me is for my girls to really understand how deep is God's love and how intentional it is in pursuing us to the point where we can feel secure that there is no doubt, no sin, no questions that will ever separate us from God's love.
Yes, thank you. Well, guys, thank you. We can we thank these ladies? Can you help me thank them? It is their Mother's Day, and they have chosen to come and be here early and prep for you and stay for both services. And so we just really thank you. I appreciate you as mothers. I appreciate you as women. I just really appreciate y'all as people. And so I just thank you for who you are and your heart and your vulnerability to get up here and share some really personal, really heavy and hard things. And I think that you helped people feel seen. And so we hope that you guys saw too, how we really can, when we come together as a church community, when we work to be the church that Jesus called us to be, we can carry both each other's celebrations and sorrows, especially on a day like today that I know is great and celebratory for some and really hard or sad or tricky or complicated for others of you. So we're grateful that y'all have been here. I would love to pray for us, actually, if you guys will bow your heads, we can pray. God, I thank you so much for these women. God, I thank you for all of the things that you gave them to speak this morning, God. The truths, the reminders, Lord, the hard things, God, that someone needs to hear, Lord, the vulnerabilities that someone needed to just know this morning that they're not alone in, that they just needed to be seen. God, I thank you for the way that you speak to us through other people. God, I thank you for the way that you speak to us, even in unexpected places. God, I pray for the person that maybe came in hoping to hear a specific Bible verse or scripture or a specific word from you, God. Maybe was thrown off a little bit by the changes this morning. And Lord, I just pray that something would take root. God, something would take root in every person's soul or heart or mind. Lord, that you remind them that no matter what their relationship with motherhood is, God, whether they have a hope to be a mom and they don't yet, God, whether they're looking to other people in this world and in their life that they love like their own, God, we're so grateful for these people, for the men and the women, God, for all of the people who love other people as if they were their own. Lord, I pray that if motherhood is hard for us, if our earthly mother relationship, God, is tricky, that we would be able to turn to you, God, for peace, that we would be able to turn to you for what is lacking. God, that instead of looking at what is missing or what has been hurtful, God, what the pain and the things that we wish were different, Lord, I pray that we would find solace in you, God, in your peace and your strength. Lord, that we would not only be reminded, but fully understand how deeply you love us. God, as a father, a mother, God, there's so many analogies of what you're like in scripture. And so whatever it is that we need from you today, God, I pray that we would just receive that. Continue to speak to us, God, in this next song and as we leave here today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.